Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Carver Watson with Let's Talk.
We acknowledge the sovereignty of all First Nations people right across the country, particularly the local traditional owners, the Yuggera, Turrbal, Yugambeh, Mananjali, Quandamooka and the Gubbi Gubbi people. And we also acknowledge our old people, all of our elders of the first people of this land and elders of more recent arrivals. And good morning to all of our listeners tuned in across the National Indigenous Radio Service. And if, or wherever you are, if you're listening via the web or at any time, if you're listening on the podcast, good morning. Welcome to Monday. Let's Talk. We have a special pre-recorded show today, which contains interviews and content from the first 1,000 days summit, Australia Summit, which we attended last week. First off, we have Beau interviewing Donna Murray from Indigenous Allied Health Australia.
Just before we start, Donna, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Sure. I'm Donna Murray. I'm Yiradjuri Wanarua from New South Wales. Yiradjuri on the Murrumbidgee River and Wanarua of the Singleton Hunter Valley region.
And we're here at the conference, First 1,000 Days Australian Summit. Could you tell us, you know, your involvement and the involvement that the Indigenous Allied Health Australia has within this summit?
Sure. So Indigenous Allied Health Australia is an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander member-based organisation. And what primarily it exists around building a network and support system for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander allied health professionals and students. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the conference of the first 1,000 days, allied health professionals play a critical role in providing health services in a broader context. So for maternal health, you know, during a pregnancy, there may be complications. You might need to see an occupational therapist, a social worker, a psychologist. If you have trouble moving around while you're pregnant, as I did, there are other health professionals that you may need to see to support that. And for having thriving young children, you have to have thriving families. And allied health professionals can play a really critical role in that broader support of families and child and maternal health. And so being part of the work here is really around our philosophy and our organisation. Culture is the strength. And that growing and supporting our own workforce across diverse disciplines, because allied health is very diverse, and we have 29 disciplines within our membership, has so much to contribute to the space. And I guess part of our advocacy work is about the recognition and value of allied health in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health and wellbeing, and about how do we advocate for and build partnerships around really appropriate workforce models that can support that in our communities.
And I guess, you know, Indigenous Allied Health Australia is sort of tailored to that. You know, like you said, it's so broad in terms of like the health professionals that they have involved with you guys. I guess why was it an important part of, you know, Allied Health to sort of have a massive involvement, you know, number of different professions under one banner?
I think what it was, in our organisation was formed in 2009 from a network of allied health professionals who were feeling really isolated in the, not just the allied health sector, but in the health workforce. And because we have quite low numbers in each of those professions, and we're growing a lot more increasing that workforce now, but there was a need to bring it together because allied health as a sector is challenging because diversity, but it's also a bit of an unknown. So the medical workforce, the nursing and the Aboriginal health worker practitioner workforce are much more readily known and understood, and so building an allied health sector is diverse, so you have to look at across social, emotional wellbeing and physical, dentistry, oral health, and even now paramedics. And our organisation includes disciplines in what we see is operating in allied health for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and communities, not what mainstream see it as. So ours is a little bit broader than what mainstream may see allied health, but that's about our holistic view on Aboriginal health.
And I guess, you know, that comes back to the whole thing of, you know, us, you know, knowing what's best for our people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And building our workforce and trying to build a workforce at the local level, training and educating them as local and regional as we can, and then making sure there's workforce models to support employment, long-term employment for our people is really critical in allied health. And so our membership and our board really are driven and committed to, one, growing the workforce, two, transforming the education system to meet our needs more, transforming health professionals that are already out there around their cultural capabilities, and that is that culture is the strength, not the issue, and that we can lead the solutions as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, because what we see is our cultural and social factors that really impact on our health and well-being, and so we sort of really trying to work within those key principles.
Like talking, you know, with some of the mob here at the summit, and that's, you know, one of the recurring, you know, things they say is, you know, culture is, you know, like a strong base, you know, for us. And, you know, I guess, you know, like when we're talking, you know, not just about health, but, you know, every, you know, aspect, you know, of our, you know, life and society, you know, we can sort of model, you know, a strong base, you know, a successful base, you know, within culture, like from an aspect of culture.
That's right. And so what some of the work we're doing within our supporting students who are currently studying in uni and some of our community engagement that we're really doing across the nation is about allied health professionals, or any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander person in the health profession, are quite unique. One, they bring a really strong professional lens in a holistic way, but they also bring their cultural lens, which makes them quite unique within the health system, which can transform the whole health system, really. And so giving people the confidence to be able to use their cultural knowledges and perspectives with their health profession is something they're not always taught at university, right? And so how do we get them to really be confident in their capabilities and in their leadership that they can take in the health workforce is really critical, because then that comes with some innovation, it comes with a better understanding holistically. So it's not just providing a 20-minute service, it's providing a whole development approach around holistic care, so that it takes away a little bit from compliance and moves towards how can we empower our communities and families to own their own health. And I think growing our workforce will absolutely empower that process.
Like earlier you just mentioned, you know, you've got a the health professionals that you do have, you said there's a small amount of numbers. But then you mentioned, you know, working with universities and other young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. How important is that to nurture, you know, like these young students through university, but then also, you know, in the health profession?
I think it's critical. And I think it actually starts before university. It starts in very early in high school years, particularly for our kids, and around building their aspirations. And that high expectation of success of our young people is a really critical component, and we're actually trying to demonstrate that in a new project we're doing in partnership with AMSANT in Darwin around building a Northern Territory Aboriginal Health Academy and working with high school students from Year 7 all the way through to Year 12. And part of that is... you know, there's still this expectation of low expectation of our young people, and we know that we can succeed in anything we want to succeed in, and having aspirations, but also being able to make informed choices about their career. And often allied health is not, because it's so diverse, is not something that's readily provided for information for young people. So people might hear of a podiatrist, but they don't actually understand what a podiatrist does. Or they might hear of a speech pathologist, but don't really understand what that is. And so making really good resources and information available so that people can make an informed choice, and then having pathways into allied health has been really interesting work and critical to people's success. And so there's not one way for people to go into allied health. There's many ways. And what we're seeing at the moment across the, not just the disciplines, but the workforce, is that Aboriginal health workers or practitioners are moving into allied health. People are going into allied health and doing medicine straight after. We're getting this crossover of nursing and allied health into specialties. And so, you know, it's quite amazing to see the development within our workforce. And so supporting that process is really critical. And we value add to existing support. So we don't provide things that universities should be providing, but we make universities accountable to what they should be providing, and working with them about building their cultural capabilities to provide culturally safe and responsive education. And for success and for our students to thrive. And so transforming the education system and embedding Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspectives into curricula and histories and privileging Indigenous knowledges is a critical part of our work. That can be done with partnerships, you know, really strong advocating the rights of Indigenous peoples of our nation. And so that in itself will build a strong Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander workforce, but we'll also build a stronger, culturally capable, broader workforce in order to meet our health and wellbeing needs. And so, you know, our students, if there's one or two in particular disciplines, can also feel isolated, feel like they have to know the answers to everything, and are not always networked across that university. And so bringing them together at a national level, and we have, you know, only 300 students at the moment, has been a really positive approach to building confidence, self-esteem, networks, and valuing and understanding the diversity of our cultures, but also our professions and how we can work together. So that's been a really, our student engagement strategy has been a really positive way of working over the last 3 or 4 years.
And how are you seeing the conference? Like, how does that, you know, play a big part in what you guys are doing?
Look, this conference is so important and steadily, and the speakers are really diverse, and it really opens up the thinking around this 1,000 days approach has to be holistic. And I guess Kerry Arabina, the convener, is also a Indigenous Allied Health Australia Lifetime Achiever. And the work that she does is incredible, and what she has done over the last 23 years is incredible. And so being part of this is really about valuating from an allied health perspective, about building the profile and value of allied health in this space so that it's recognised, and that we can really work with governments and other stakeholders about building workforce models that can support full-time positions in our communities to be able to deliver this work.
You know, thanks for that. You know, that's all, you know, from me. But if, you know, anything within wrapping up, you know, that you wanted to let our listeners know, you know, how could, you know, we get on to, you know, Indigenous Allied Health? You know,
like, so, as I said, it's a member-based organisation, so we have categories of membership. Everybody is welcome to join. It's free. You can join online. It only takes 2 minutes. And be part of what we're really trying to achieve in a holistic way, and building and supporting our allied health workforce, building and supporting and empowering Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families and communities, and keep up to date on what's happening in policy development and advocacy, but also how you can contribute to Indigenous Allied Health Australia, because we'd love to hear from all. Welcome. Please join.
Thank you.
And if you're tuning into Let's Talk, myself and Kava, we had the privilege of joining other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people from around the country at the first 1,000-day Australian Summit. Just to give you a bit of background about the first 1,000-day Australian Summit, the Australian model of the International 1,000 Days Movement aims to provide a coordinated and cohesive strategy to strengthen Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families so they can address their children's need from preconception to 2 years of age, thereby laying the best foundation for their future health and well-being. Stay tuned to 98.9 FM because we are going to a quick song break with Murray Man by Roger Knox.
Murray Man, Maori woman, I have seen dreams come true. Do you remember on those plains, love was shared, love was made, maritime. Brothers, sisters, now our time's going short. Do we fear what we face? Do we carry a torch? How long do these scars take to heal? To be free once again. Maori man, Maori woman, do you still walk on that same ground? Do you remember special feelings across the black soil plains to Boobara? Now we're standing at the crossroad. Brighter days, I hear some people say. I hear other distant voices say, take me back. Take me back, Marie man, I can't forget things you've done, and I hope that new day coming, you're not gone, you still carry on like you always done. Maori man, Maori woman.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And thanks for joining us. Maori Man by Roger Knox, proud Gimilaray man right there. You were hearing interviews from the first 1,000 Days Australian Summit that was held here in Brisbane.
I have three ladies from the, was it Victorian Aboriginal Housing? Mm-hmm. They're involved in a research project. Just before we start, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
I'm Lucinda Jackson. I'm from Melbourne, and I'm a Yordiora.
I'm Alicia Warden, and I'm a Gundij woman.
Sharon Labbitt, Gundij Jamara.
And like I said just before, we're here at the first 1,000 Days Australian Summit. What's the Aboriginal Housing Victoria's involvement within the summit?
So basically, we were there to go around to Aboriginal homes in our northern suburbs, so city of Whittlesea, and we rolled out a survey with some pretty confronting questions.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I think we got in contact with 71 houses out of 80 houses.
80 houses.
So that's pretty good contact rate. And people were more than happy to, sit there and help us get the answers that we needed. There was a lot of confronting questions, especially towards our elders.
Mm-hmm.
But if we didn't get those questions answered, we wouldn't have any anything to go on now. You know, so.
And I think for a lot of us, I've been in Aboriginal housing 20 years now, so I've watched the change over the last 20 years. Tenants never really had a say, didn't know their landlords. So this was, for us, was an opening to be able to tell Aboriginal housing what we want from our rent.
As tenants.
As tenants.
And personally for me too, it was good to, I can speak on behalf of single mums, no family support, and just from having this survey, now we've got life skill workers that's coming into their houses and helping support whatever they can do. It could be from meetings, helping with resumes, ready, like work ready, anything that can help you with child, like even with your children.
So basically anything that Aboriginal housing, we give our mob homes, but or we give them a house, but we want to make them feel like it's a home.
Yeah. So people can have a home, but you can only have a roof over your head. What about the necessities that are in the home, like a fridge, a bed? Aboriginal housing now is starting to help support the tenants in getting this stuff so that we don't just have a roof over our heads. It's all right, you can have a house, but you need something in the house as well.
And something to call home and somewhere that's safe.
Rather than just signing a lease, putting you in there and see you later, and you just come to check for rent. Or, you know, that's what you're used to. Housing officers only want to call you, or you can get in contact with them. You know, the first thing is, as soon as you miss a rent payment, they're on it.
You're onto it.
Maintenance? Yeah. No.
No. And that's what we found with the surveys. A lot of maintenance isn't being done. It's a lot of overcrowding in houses, like, you know, some people can have up to 11 people in a two-bedroom house. So we need to accommodate these people, and we need to know so that we can give them the same security that
everyone has.
And everybody deserves a roof over their head and to be with their own families.
That's right.
And even our elders, we find that some of them need to downgrade. But rather than put them from their community that they've grown up and they know all their people, to outskirts, away from them, away to other areas where they don't even have any knowledge. They've out of their
comfort zone.
Trying to support them and able to help them live.
I was lucky with Aboriginal housing. I went through domestic violence with my children. Aboriginal housing stepped in and they were fantastic. They gave me a new house, protected my safety. And out of it, I got a life skills coach, which now can help me with everyday easy things. Like, you know, you're too ashamed to ring up because you've got a bill that's outstanding or something like that. They give you the encouragement to be able to make you feel that you can take that next step.
And do things for ourselves.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sometimes you just need a little hand. Out there, as we say, you can get a house easy, but you need the help that comes along with it. So out of this survey, as Lucinda said, there's people that have got five-bedroom houses and one person living in it. When there's families out there dying to get a roof over their head, and you always get told, don't downsize, because you're going to get something that's going to be too small for you. Stay in the bigger house. But now we're hearing, no, let's get these people into nice living homes that are comfortable for them and they're not paying excessive bills. You know, maintenance doesn't get done on the houses. That was the big thing we found out of the surveys. You know, we've got people living in Aboriginal housing and maintenance, all it is, they need to turn on a pilot light, and people are waiting 14 months for this. You know, when we get there, we'll go up on the roof and we'll do that for you. You know, we found that Aboriginal housing didn't have a feedback form for maintenance. Why not? So now we made up our own form when we did the surveys for maintenance, and one of the workers every day signed up these people and she rang maintenance
and
every
made
day.
Sure everything was
now
fired through.
Now it's starting to be getting done. People are starting to stand back a little bit and say, all right, maybe these people might be okay.
And I think our mob also want to know what the outcomes of the survey has provided for them. So basically, back to the home thing again, home is where you nurture your family and where grassroots start, I suppose. So, like I said, if you don't have a home, it can be pretty hard to keep your family on that straight, narrow track.
And then there comes DHS into it. because you're not stable, you haven't got a fridge in your house, you haven't got this, you haven't got that. But now we can ask someone for that help, and it's not, it's our own people, we shouldn't be ashamed.
And I think that's given us confidence also to, yeah, to speak up. Like before, if I had a, if I was in rent arrears or whatever, I'd never ring housing and say, hey, I need some help, da 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 da. But now we have somebody that we can ring that doesn't make us feel shame, and we'll sit down and say, right, how can we help you? What's the best way that we can fix this? So, yeah.
And how long have you been involved with, with the Aboriginal Housing Victoria?
I've been involved over 20 years.
I've been in Aboriginal Housing for 7 years.
Myself, I've been 3 years.
But this project
and
itself,
this project, yeah.
Look, it's only been 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah, so a lot's
but
happened
what
in 6 months.
What they did is they took us into the office. We did a 3-day training course, and that gave us a accreditation qualification to be peer researchers for the Melbourne of Melbourne
also
University.
Also helped us get job ready. Like a lot of us were tenants ourselves, just like the rest, and giving us the opportunity to be able to, like us. She's got a family at home.
We wouldn't have this opportunity to come to Queensland or to Brisbane if
that wasn't
if we weren't for the wasn't for the first 1,000 days. So
they brought in like rather than getting like they brought us tenants like we're as one rather than we're not we can talk and we can
and we've had a lot of input. I think Kerry Arabin has been very she's listened to a lot of what we've had to say. And hopefully this summit, people will walk away with a better understanding.
What's some of the stuff that you've got out of the summit so far?
We only just got here yesterday morning, so we sort of like came straight from the airport to here yesterday. Look, there's a lot... When we did the More Than a Landlord part of it, myself, I didn't realise there was a lot more to it.
Yeah.
So now we're looking for what actually else comes under this banner. We want to be taught that.
Yeah. For me, I think it's more we're nurturing our children from conception, conception, through to 5 years old and onwards. You know, like that's our job to make sure our kids have the skills to, you know, grow up and be the best person they can be.
Be educated.
You want to say something for us?
Skip my mind.
So for now, for us, we sort of like, we do speeches at the Melbourne of University. We've been out to Healesville. We've met Jenny Macklin, who is...
MP.
MP.
For Indigenous Affairs.
Yeah. So, and we've had chances to get out and speak to these people, and now it's a face to a name.
That's
do you
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
They know us now. We know them.
Yeah.
So we're on that sort of ground where we can actually talk to them now and give them our opinions, whereas before we didn't know what we were saying.
And I think, too, because we're a community, most of the mob that we went, if we went to their houses, we're obviously related or we know them.
Mm.
So it made that first initial meeting that little bit easier.
Yeah. Sometimes, too, it could be a bit more harder because
that's
it
right.
is.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, you don't really want to sit there and tell the community your problems. You don't want to sit there and say, hey, well,
all those
they
personal
wouldn't know that.
Answers,
there's a wall there. That's your
problem. Then how was that when you were doing the research and you were going to the families?
It was hard,
it was
I'll
hard.
Tell you that.
Because
some of the questions were like, you have to ask your elder how old you are. You know, you have to ask them, are you sexually active? You know, we're talking to 90-year-old elders.
Yeah.
You know, and
do you feel like you're
going to
plan a baby in the next 12 months?
Yeah. And even one instance where the senior was going to a lady's house and she didn't call her auntie.
Yeah.
And she went crooked her on the phone, so I had to go with her, but she didn't understand. She doesn't understand you called them all aunties.
Yeah.
So,
I did,
she did, but it was just a mishap, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and that was cool at the end of the day, but it is really hard going in and speaking to people about this.
I reckon if housing workers hadn't done it and gone around and conducted the surveys,
they wouldn't have got
half the results they got. But because we're tenants, and like I said, we know people on that face-to-face basis, but we got a lot more out of them than
we're in the same boat. We're exactly the same as them.
That's
we're no
right.
better, we're nothing.
That's
better.
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than them feel like they're littler than us and we're higher.
We're all the same.
That's why like we introduce ourselves, say hi, I'm also a lot of people be like, no, you just said
I mean, because in Melbourne, I don't know if you've got the stigma up here when housing comes to your house, you pull your blinds down and you lock your doors. That's how it is in Melbourne.
As soon
as you see a worker, so they were doing that to us, but then when they understood that we weren't. We're not there to check your houses.
That also comes from transgenerational trauma.
Yeah.
This is something that we're going to fear for the rest of our lives until things change.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I was going to say thanks for having a yarn with us. And if there was anything else that you would like to add just before we wrap up, you know, on the conference, on some of the stuff you're doing with your research as well, back down in Victoria.
I'd just like to thank the University of Melbourne AHV for giving us girls the chance to basically step out of our comfort zones and get our confidence back. I feel a bit liberated for it. So I'm just really, really proud to be part of this project.
Like giving you the tools so you can do it yourself.
And teach my children that nothing's impossible.
And I think anyone on board that is not on board or...
Should get on board,
come and help and support our people.
That's right.
Amazing.
Do the summit, do the short
courses,
do the short courses, get into it because we're not going to be listened to unless we say something.
That's right.
And you're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. And we're going to another song break, and that song coming up is Yulale by Joey Gaia.
I sing for the black and the people of this land. I sing for the red and the blood that's been shed. Now I'm singing for the gold of a new year, young and old. Yulale, 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 yulale. Yulale. The Most High, I sing so much praises, it makes me want to cry. Now I'm singing just for you, so all can recognize. Yulale, 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 yulale.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
and you're listening to Let's Talk. I want to say a big thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk. Myself and Carver had the privilege of attending the first 1,000-day Australia Summit. That was a summit that was held here in Brisbane. It had various Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people from around the country attending, with our health professionals, researchers, CEOs of different Aboriginal organisations from around the country. Like I said, we had the privilege of speaking with various different Aboriginal people. We hope you enjoyed the show. Just remember, you can catch Let's Talk from Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. here on Let's Talk, here on 98.9 FM. But you can also go to the website and get the podcast at 98.9fm.com.au. follow the links to programs and Let's Talk, and then you'll find the podcast of the show, so you can listen to this later on in the evening or whenever you feel the urge to listen to Let's Talk. I hope you enjoyed the show, and you can catch us next time.
You've been tuned to Let's Talk, highlighting the injustice from community to country, suburb to city, with a multitude of hosts, Bo Spearham, Carver Watson and Chelsea Bond. Weekday mornings from 9 till 10, it's Let's Talk, welcoming the continued sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country.